And you're listening to WRUU LP 107.5 FM. We're Savannah Soundings. That's community radio with Global Soul. Radio hounds, welcome to 4 p.m. It's time to grab your pots and pans, hold on to your colanders, because you've entered the uncharted universe of the Rock and Roll Cookbook. What else? The show that keeps you awake with the new, old, and undiscovered songs that never sleep. During the countdown to Inauguration Day. Yeah, it's the day before Inauguration Day. How about that, Earl? I'm Audrey Hepcat, and here with the magnificent Midnight Earl, the guru of rock and roll, the Robert Christgau of Savannah. We're here live for you every first and third Tuesday of the month.
What an imagination.
What an imagination. No, but you are. You are the Robert Christgau of Savannah. For those of you who don't know who Robert Christgau is, he writes a lot of books. He used to be the primary rock music critic over at the Village Voice.
Like most things, you can find more information on the internet.
Right, exactly, right. Who cares? All right. So today we're paying a special tribute to the lost bands. I didn't know there were any lost bands of rock and roll. Well, by that we mean the bands that either never received the recognition they deserved or have just faded into the sunset.
Yeah, most of these were successful for a couple of years and for one reason or another, disappeared and should have.
But they were more than one hit wonders.
Right.
That's another show.
Yes.
All right. But you probably hardly or never hear their songs anymore, you know, unless you actively, you know, seek them out. And if you don't know about them, then of course you can't really seek them out. So today's cookbook is about rediscovering some of these lost songs, underrated, unloved rock and roll bands and their artists.
Okay, and the first song is by a leader in the power pop genre and one of the most tragically gifted bands on our playlist today. Badfinger, originally known as the Ivies, were formed in 1969 and were active into the 1980s. They were among the first artists to sign onto Apple Records, founded by the Beatles in 1968. The original band included songwriters Pete Ham and Tom Evans on guitar and vocals. I believe at least Pete Ham also played keyboards.
Yes.
Mike Givens on drums, Ron Griffiths on bass guitar, who was replaced by Joey Molland when the band changed their name from the Ivies to Badfinger.
Yeah, and the band's, this is truly an unsung hero of the rock and roll history. The band's first manager, Bill Collins, introduced them to Apple when they were still the Ivies, and the first hit was actually Come and Get It, which was written by none other than Paul McCartney. And he actually gave them specific instructions on how to record it. But all the other songs, many of which were huge hits, you probably know them, Day After Day, No Matter What. Is it No Matter What or No Matter What You Do? I don't remember. But anyway,
yeah.
Baby Blue, they were composed by Peter Ham, or in the case of Without You, which was a huge hit, covered by Harry Nilsson, was composed by Ham and Evans jointly.
Yes, the band added another songwriter, guitarist, and keyboardist, Bob Jackson, in 1974 after the band left Apple because their contract had expired and they were promised more money with Warner Brothers.
Warner Records.
Not
the cartoon.
Well, I mean, it's the same company,
basically. Well, yeah, it's a huge company. All right.
Yeah, they also signed with a new manager, Stan Poley, in the U.S. That was, you know, just managing their business in the United States.
He basically took it over, though.
Yeah, who reportedly had mob connections and was known for unscrupulous business deals, unbeknownst to the band at the time. This relationship was the beginning and the end for Badfinger.
So we don't want to bombard you with this music history trivia, but it is kind of an interesting story, a very sad story, of course. But, you know, the backstory is kind of important here. Warner apparently discovered some missing escrow funds in Badfinger's account shortly after the release of their second album, Wish You Were Here. 1974. And Polly strangely disappeared at the time, couldn't be reached by the band members. So Warner actually pulled the album, even though it was critically acclaimed and the sales were going well. Polly convinced the band to record a third album after he reappeared, I guess. This was called Head First. And Warner, of course, refused to even release it because of, you know, unresolved financial disputes with the band. Lawsuits galore, as you can imagine. Badfinger was essentially locked into a contract that apparently they didn't, it didn't even allow them to cut their losses and just move on. Very, very horrible situation. So the pressure ended up being too much for Peter Hamm, who committed suicide in 1975. Absolutely horrific tragedy. And Evans followed suit 8 years later after a dispute over royalties for the song Without You. Fortunately, the Badfinger brand continues today, mainly through Joey Mollen, who is the group's only surviving member, original member. Also, it's important to note that even during the turmoil of their business relationship with Warner and Polly, Badfinger never lost their creative voice. If you listen to their songs, you'll hear that. We're not going to play the big hits, but we are going to play some beautiful pieces. The first one is from their 1971 Straight Up album, which also included Baby Blue and Day After Day. The song we're going to hear is Perfection by Peter Hamm.
There is no real perfection. There's no good revolution. Successful conversation. No good kind of killing, just power taking life. It's all good blood that's spilling to make a bigger knife. So listen to my song. Successful conversation. Successful conversation.
And that was Perfection by Badfinger. That's one of the unsung ones here on the Rock and Roll Cookbook. Wonderful melody writer.
I'm just
really struck by, and that's no small feat, but, you know, regardless of what you think of the theme or whatever, beautiful melodies from this band and from this composer, Peter Hamm. And, yeah, so let's continue. We'll hear more from them later. Our next song is from the Blasters, formed in 1979. It seems like they should have been formed earlier, right? The Blasters. Yeah. Anyway, they were formed in 1979 by brothers Phil and Dave Allen.
Alvin.
Did I say Allen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Alvin.
Yes.
Both guitarists, with drummer Bill Bateman and bass guitarist John, I'll let you tell me.
Baz,
thank you.
Yes, they describe their own music as American music. Prime influences were Joe Turner and T-Bone Walker.
Yay.
They also draw from rockabilly, early rock and roll, mountain music, punk rock, rhythm and blues, and country. And
all that.
Yeah, it's sort of a mix of roots and rockabilly. And their image wasn't so much of like you could say the Stray Cats image was sort of like a caricature of rockabilly.
Okay.
These guys were more like, you know, sincere grassroots rock and roll like Creedence Clearwater Revival was.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking with all of those different genres, like a recipe for rock pile.
Yeah, but something like that.
Yeah, which we do not include on this program. Sorry, we couldn't include everybody, but that was also an unsung British rock and roll band with similar influences to the Blasters.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to hear a song called Flat Top Joint.
Okay, here we go.
By the Blasters. That was the Blasters, Flat Top Joint. The next song was written by Barry Dvorzon. Did I say that right, Earl? And Ted Ellis. Close enough. And performed by the... We're not making light of people's, you know, names. We want to pronounce the names properly. But I believe that is Dvorzon, Barry Dvorzon. And Ted Ellis. And performed by the Rock and Roll Trio from Memphis, Tennessee. It started in 1951 by two brothers and a friend.
Yes, the two brothers were Dorsey Burnett and his younger brother, Johnny, and friend Paul Burleson. Paul played lead guitar, with Dorsey playing stand-up bass, and Johnny taking the rhythm guitar and lead vocal. Initially, they played a mix of bluegrass and country and were known as the Rhythm Rangers. So that's sort of like the same path that Bill Haley...
Yeah.
It was originally Bill Haley and the Saddlemen.
They were
sort of a Western swing act that became a rock and roll band.
Yeah, interesting.
Okay, they auditioned for Sam Phillips.
Phillips.
I'm messing up names
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's not Sam Phillips. Sam Phillips at Sun Records, who turned them down.
Which I find extraordinary. Wow. Okay. Anyway, they were ultimately signed by Decca and made their first recording at the Pythian Temple, which is also where Bill Haley and the Comets recorded Rock Around the Clock. Speaking of Bill Haley,
yes.
The Tree disbanded in 1957 due to a lack of commercial success. What else is new? But the two brothers decided to move to California and managed to keep their music alive, which was a very good call on their part because they really made it big as songwriters. And the wave of rock and roll stars in the early to mid-60s, like none other than the Beatles and the Yardbirds, really admired the rock and roll trio. So it kind of helped keep them on the radar. Anyway, we're going to hear a song called Dreamin' by Johnny Burnett and the Rock and Roll Trio.
Dreaming, I'm always dreaming. Dreaming, love will be mine. Searching, I'm always searching. Hoping, someday I'll find someone to love me. Someone who needs me, but until then, well, I'll keep on dreaming, keep right on dreaming, dreaming till my dreaming comes true. Dreaming, I'm always dreaming. Dreaming, love will be mine. Searching, I'm always searching. Hoping, someday I'll find someone to love me. Oh, someone who needs me. But until then, well, I'll keep on dreaming, keep right on dreaming, dreaming till my dreaming comes true.
Johnny Burnett and the Rock and Roll Trio. The next band is, we're actually putting them in this category because even though they played to packed stadiums, they've been largely marginalized by the critics for whatever reason. It's basically a hard rock pre-heavy metal. Started in 1969 and they had a name...
Yes,
the group. They had a name. what was their name,
the
Earl?
The group is Grand Funk Railroad, and later that was shortened to just Grand Funk. The song reflects what they were going through on tour to promote the Phoenix album released in 1973 amid lawsuits following a split with their former manager, Terry Knight. All the songs were written by the band's lead guitarist, Mark Fawner, but drummer Don Brewer sang the lead on this song. And this song talks about being on the road and their experiences. And it's in that way, it's very similar to Smoke on the Water by Pink, Deep Purple.
Ah, okay. Yes, another
lyrically
somewhat,
similar.
Somewhat unsung band.
Yes.
Or maybe
well,
not. Deep Purple was...
They were big, too.
They were big.
But somewhat forgotten.
Somewhat forgotten, okay. But we didn't have enough time to put them on the list.
Yeah,
but
we
anyway,
can't play everybody.
We'll have to do another show of the unsung rock
right.
and roll bands. So anyway, the song that we're going to hear was produced by Todd Rundgren, who was also a very prolific producer, songwriter, performer. He also produced albums for Badfinger, which yep. I thought was interesting, and the New York Dolls. Yeah. Quite a combination or
yes.
variety. So anyway, the song was the group's biggest number one hit, the one we're going to hear, and the most commercially successful. It was also their first single as Grand Funk rather than Grand Funk Railroad. So we're going to hear We're an American Band. Moving right along to another British rock and roll group, actually an instrumental rock band from the early 60s. Pretty unknown, to us at least, but notable. And you could consider a two-hit wonder, but apparently they have quite a cult following. And some people think, you know, they should have gotten as much attention as, say, The Shadows or The Ventures. The group was led by keyboardist Mike O'Neill, a.k.a. Nero. And they have remained active up until 2005. So they had pretty long history. They're called Nero and the Gladiators. And we're going to hear their version of Hall of the Mountain King, which is, of course, the famous classical piece by Edvard Grieg.
I'll say that, Brutus. Where is this king's pad?
Nero and the Gladiators, Hall of the Mountain King. We've got more music for you, but a couple of brief announcements. We have the City of Savannah Cultural Resources Department has announced the opening of the 2021 Weave a Dream application process beginning Friday, January 15th, which just happened, 2021. Weave a Dream is a project-based grant program that supports the implementation of arts and cultural programs by small and emerging organizations. A very worthy effort. Proposed projects must be creative in nature and present cultural and arts programming that is free and open to all Savannians, with an emphasis on youth-focused projects. The 2021 deadline for applications is Friday, October 1st. That's Friday, October 1st, so you've got some time, 2021, at 5 o'clock p.m. Program applications and guidelines can be found on the Cultural Resources website at www.savannahga.gov/arts. Also, a reminder that when you contribute to WRUU, and you're listening to WRUU here at 107.5 FM in Savannah, consider what does it mean? It's a community radio station. It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming, although we do. It doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community, although we are. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going. And you, folks, are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from listeners just like you. You get to enjoy our community-focused programming because many others have stepped forward to do their part. So we're asking you now to do your part by joining our community of listener donors. All you have to do is go to WRUU.org right now, make a one-time or monthly donation. And we do thank you so much for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM. And you are listening to the Rock and Roll Cookbook here today on Tuesday, every first and third Tuesday. We are showcasing the unsung ones, which is basically our way of saying thank you to some of the artist bands that have been forgotten as they sink further and further into rock and roll history. So what do we have next, Earl? I think we have, this is really a cool group that I had not heard of before. Jellyfish, largely forgotten but notable English band. I think we've got an equal number of English and American bands here, but they were really good. They They were started by drummer Andy Sturmer and keyboardist Roger Manning of San Francisco in 1989, active until 94. But they did, they were only around for a short time, but they did release two albums and received wide critical acclaim and still have kind of a cult following.
Yeah, so if they were started in San Francisco, I think they're American.
Well, yeah, there. I was just mentioning that, you know, we've got a couple of English bands here, and we're trying to give equal, you know, because we love the British, you know, sort of.
And we have one that I think is not even British or American coming up.
Yeah, there's one coming up, so, but we won't give it away yet.
Most of their musical influences were British, and Jellyfish was distinctive in that they incorporated a much more diverse sound than their grunge and hair metal peers at the time.
That was big then, yeah.
Yes. That was the popular trend.
Yeah, I don't know why. It lasted way too long, in my opinion. But anyway,
their influences included Talking Heads, Cheap Trick, Queen, Peter Gabriel, as well as notably jazz musicians like John Coltrane, Miles Davis, and Bill Evans.
So they have a really interesting sound, and I read in a number of posts by fans that suggested they seem to have come around a little too late, you know, to really profit from the power pop movement, which peaked in the late 70s, and that may have led to their not finding the success they might have otherwise had. So still a very talented, innovative band. So let's hear them. New Mistake is the song by Jellyfish. very cool. Clever lyrics, too, from Jellyfish, New Mistake.
And that sounds to me kind of like equal parts Badfinger and ELO.
Yeah, it does. Actually, interesting that you say, Earl, you always come up with these observations that once you say it, I say, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I couldn't have come up with it myself, but good call. All right, here's another largely forgotten but notable English band called Roxy Music from the 80s. Unusual instrumentation, too, because it features saxophone, oboe, and strings in addition to guitars, bass, and drums. So.
Yeah, and at least in this song, they have a drum machine rhythm backing with some complex bass guitar work that would become part of their signature sound.
Okay, it's an interesting song. It's called The Same Old Scene, and it's written by the band's lead singer, Brian Ferry. So let's hear it. Same Old Scene, Roxy Music. Next artist, actually, this is a band started in Marietta, Georgia in 1984. They were voted Best New American Band in 1990 by the Rolling Stone readers. as opposed to the Rolling Stone magazine writers, I guess, but that counts. Their sound is the sound is described as a mix of Southern rock, no surprise, hard rock, blues rock, and jam band. I didn't actually know that was a sound, but I guess they're a jam band. So here they are. Sting Me is the song by the Black Crowes.
We'll be right back.
the Black Crowes, Marietta, Georgia. Almost sounded like, can you stand me? I don't know. I get, anyway, cool. All right, next band is from 1968, or that's where they started anyway, in Denver, Colorado, with the name Chocolate Hair, which is a clue to their psychedelic rock roots.
Yes, they had two top 10 hits, Green Eyed Lady and the one we're going to play. The front man for the band was lead singer, songwriter, and keyboardist Jerry Corbetta, who started the band along with guitarist Bob Weber.
And I did not know this. The song that actually kept the band out of the one-hit wonder category caused a little bit of a stir from the State Department, because at the end of the song they play a series of dial tones that correspond to the main number at the White House, and which then became flooded with calls inquiring about the song. I didn't realize that they only had two hits, though, really. Yeah. It's called Don't Call Us, We'll Call You, and the band is called Sugarloaf.
Assistance, every quote 212. I say, hey, A&R, this is Mr. Rhythm and Blues. He said hello and put me on hold. To say the least, the cat was cold. He said, don't call us, child, we'll call you. I said, you got my number? He said, yeah, I got when you walked in the door.
Sugarloaf. Next, we are going to play a band that's relatively unknown, at least to us. However, they are quite big in Canada. They have a devoted following. The band is called The Tragically Hip, or just The Hip.
Yeah, the band was formed in 1984 by lead vocalist Gord Downie, Gord Sinclair.
The two Gords.
And Rob Baker under the name The Rodents. The song has won a lot of awards and is considered the band's most successful single, reaching number one in Canada.
I prefer the Tragically Hip to the Rodents. Anyway, this was also the last song the band played on their final concert in 2016. Gord Downie unfortunately passed away in 2017. There was a tremendous outpouring of love from Canadians mourning his loss. He apparently loved his country as much as he loved music, and that is certainly a good thing. So let's hear it. This is Ahead by a Century by the Tragically Hip.
To our thoughts, illusions of someday, cast in a golden light, no dress rehearsal, this is our
Tragically Hip, Ahead by a Century. You have been listening to the Rock and Roll Cookbook, The Unsung Ones, our homage to the underrated or underappreciated bands of rock and roll. Thank you so much, Earl. As always, thanks to I need a cup of coffee. And you, our amazing listeners, please let us know what you think on the Rock and Roll Cookbook Circle Facebook group. If you haven't already joined, please join us. Lively conversation there, or the Rocking Chairs Rhythm Review Facebook page. Our next show will be Tuesday, February 2nd, 4 p.m. as usual. And as part of our celebration of Black History Month, we'll be showcasing the lesser-known music of Motown, as well as the music of the Funk Brothers, whom we featured in an earlier show celebrating the great session musicians, but we're going to do the whole show about them and about Motown. They were largely uncredited on most of the Motown recordings from 1959 until 72 when the label moved to Los Angeles. So for now, we're going to close out the cookbook this week with another great song from Badfinger. Until next time, please stay safe and sane. Be kind to others. And as always, keep listening to that rock and roll music any old way you choose it. I'm Audrey Hepcat, and here's The Name of the Game by Badfinger.
And I looked him in the eye. Said, would you go much faster if you thought that you would die? He said, not me, sir, I could not care. In fact, I would not try. For protest would not take me far. It's different me not being a star. I lock my feelings in a jar till another day. Oh, comfort me, dear brother, won't you tell me what you know? For somewhere in this paper world is a place where I can go. Oh, long-awaited mother, is it time to make a show? And take your babies to your breast, you know we never passed the test. All our sins should be confessed before we carry on. Different me not being a star. I lock my feelings in a jar.